verse 22. Let's all read it together. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey there by you, once I've enjoyed your company for a while. At the present, however, I'm going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia, I have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in this spiritual blessing, they ought also be of service to them in material blessing. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been connected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in fullness of the blessing of Christ. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayer to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and refresh in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that we can come before you this morning and look into your word. And because your word is the truth that you have left for us, your word is what is perfect for us to get a glimpse of who you are. And so, Lord, as we turn to your word, we ask that first you open our hearts, open our eyes, so we may see you and that we may see the truth you have left for us, O Lord. And also, Lord God, we pray for myself, the speaker, O Lord, that you will remove my sins so that I may be righteous in your eyes. And through the blood of Christ, that I may be made clean and be an acceptable servant on your behalf. And so, Lord God, we pray that your word through me, the Holy Spirit will speak much louder and much more clear than I could ever could. And so that your word will resound in our hearts. And so it will be like a double-edged sword that will pierce our heart and convict us, and so that we will see who you are and that we'll learn to have the humility to obey you and obey your commands. So, Lord God, we thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You might be seated. So, when we look at Romans 15, there's a couple of facts that we need to sort out in this message, in this passage. And when Paul wrote this to the Church of Romans, most scholars agree that he's probably writing the book of Romans during his third missionary journey. He was running from the city of Corinth. And so I've prepared a map for you because I know it's sometimes helpful to. I like maps. And Jenny loves maps. Jenny studied geography, so we love looking at maps together. And so if you can see, Corinth will be on. I need to orient myself because I'm facing this way. Corinth is right there on about one third of this map. So that's where Paul is writing the book of Romans. And so we know Paul's intention. So fact number one is that Paul wants to go to Spain. So from Corinth to Spain, as you can see the whole breadth of this map. And why does he want to go to Spain? Because we saw that in verse 28, he said he wants to leave for Spain by the way of you. And his purpose of passing through Rome is very clear. He said he wants to go to Spain in passing so that he can see them in Rome. Paul has never met the church in Rome. He know that someone had planted a church in Rome, and he wants to go to Spain, so he wants to go visit them. And so why does Paul want to go all the way to that side, to Spain? Is that we learned earlier in chapter 15 and also in verse 23, Paul said that there's no more room for any work in this region. So Paul has been working in this half of the map for the past three missionary journey, and he planted churches through this half of the map, and he's seeing that there's no more work for him in this region. So really, what does it mean when he said that there's no more work for him? Because there's still plenty of non-Christians in this side of the map. But as we can see in 2 Timothy 4:5, Paul is telling Timothy, who is in Ephesus, over there, you can find Ephesus somewhere in there, and Paul is saying to Timothy, do the work of the evangelist. So we can see Paul Paul still wants to bring the gospel to all non-Christians, but Paul knows his calling. He has a specific calling, is to be a frontier missionary, is to be a pioneer missionary. His job is to plant churches in places where there's no churches, and then move on so that other people can work the job as the evangelist in that city to continue to grow the church, and Paul will move on to the next place. And so that's where Paul wants to go, because we can see in the New Testament time, the church has been spreading through Jerusalem all the way across this map, and Paul wants to go to basically the ends of the earth, and the earth that they want to, that they know of, to Spain, to spread the gospel in Spain. And so in NYCBC, we have both type of ministry. Because all of the churches, all churches that God has commanded has both type of ministry. Because we sent international workers to the unreached. We sent international workers to places where there's no church, and they're there to plant churches. And we also sent international workers, or even local workers, to a place where they are church, to continue to help the church grow. And so that's the work of evangelism in those areas, and also the work of evangelism here in Toronto. We have a church here in Toronto, and we want to continue to share the gospel here in Toronto, to grow the church here in Toronto. And even in our short-term mission trips, for some of you have partaken in short-term mission trips, even in those trips reflects that, because we see that every year we've been bringing trips down to Panama and Peru to support the local churches there, to help the local church grow. But we also send short-term teams to places like East Asia or Southeast Asia or the Desert Rain, to places where there's no church, to help those who are there to plant churches in that area. And so that's what Paul really loves to do. That's what he gets his joy from, he knows his calling is to bring the gospel to areas there where there's no gospel and people have no access to the gospel, and to tell them for the very first time the joy of the gospel. And so that's what gets Paul really excited. And some of you might have had experienced that joy before too, telling someone the gospel for the very first time. And I give thanks to the Lord. I have that opportunity about more than 10 years ago when I was in North Vietnam. In a little village in North Vietnam, our team was there, and we were able to share the gospel to a grandma. And then in responding, this is what the grandma said to us. The grandma said that, "I've waited 90 years for this message." She was so excited to hear the gospel message. And she was in tears, and she said, "I waited 90 years for this." And she was the first Christian in that village. And we were so excited after that day. And so that's what gets Paul excited. He wants to go to Spain. He wants to go all the way over there. And so he's writing to Rome. The fact that why is he writing to Rome? Because he wants Rome, the churches in Rome, to help him on his journey. And so once he enjoyed the company in Rome, he'll head on to Spain. He wants the refreshment and the fellowship of the brothers and sisters in Rome, and he wants their support. So in one sense, if this hasn't occurred to you, in one sense, the whole book of Romans is a missionary letter. It's a mission support letter to Rome. Because he's never met the church in Rome, he's writing to Rome, he's telling them, the church in Rome, this is what Paul, this is what I believe in, and this is why you should partner with me in the work to Spain. And so would you support me as I go preach the gospel in Spain? And also, why Rome? Paul very strategically wrote to Rome because he knows that Rome is the economic center in the world at that time, right? And so if you were to raise support to bring the gospel to literally to the ends of the earth, what a better place to write to than in Rome. So that's why Paul is writing to Rome, and he said that he wants to stop by Rome to raise support so that he can go to Spain. So that's fact number one. Fact number two is there are poor Christians in Jerusalem. We know this from Acts 11, 28. The prophet Agabus, he prophesies that there will be a famine in Jerusalem. And also we learn from the Jewish historian Josephus that there actually was a famine in Jerusalem around 44 AD to 49 AD period. And so there was a famine in that area. And so part of the reason why Paul is raising all this support is to help the churches in Jerusalem. And then there's a third fact that we see the generous support of the churches, that from the Gentile churches, because we see the Christian in Macedonia. And what is Macedonia? Macedonia is pretty much churches in Philippi and Thessalonica, and also the churches in Achaia, and which is Corinth is in Achaia. So just to orientate you, so a lot of the letters that Paul been writing in the New Testament are actually in churches in that area, and they've taken up an offering and collected money, and Paul wants to send this money to Jerusalem. And in verse 26, we see that Paul says, "And Macedonia and Achaia has been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem." So Paul writes about the collection of during the two chapters in 2 Corinthians. As he was writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, Paul is urging them to give to the poor in Jerusalem. And so we can see how they responded. The churches in Macedonia, in verse 28, it says that the churches in Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution. Pleased, they were excited to make these contributions. The Greek word that was used is which means extremely pleased. Yeah, that's what the English said. But another place where this was translated, this word was used, is when during Jesus' baptism, God was saying, "This is my son, and I am well pleased." And so we know that how much God is pleased with Jesus. And Paul is using the same word, is that the church in these Gentile churches were excited to give to the church in Jerusalem. And we'll unpack it in a little bit, because we see that in verse 27, Paul repeats it again. They were pleased to do it because they feel that they owe it to them. They owe it to the church in Jerusalem. And we'll see why they feel that they owe it to the church in Jerusalem. Because the Gentile churches, they come in to share in the spiritual blessing, and so that they want to also be a service to them in material blessing. So they felt that the Jerusalem church has given them so much in spiritual blessing through the Messiah, who is Jewish, Jesus, who is a Jewish man, and through the Jewish community, the Gentile community has benefited spiritually, and now they want to support them materialistically. And then the last fact is that Paul is acting as a courier. And we saw that Paul, he himself, is delivering this offering to the poor in Jerusalem rather than giving the task to someone else. In verse 28, we see that when therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by the way of you. So Paul, he's writing this down. He's making a point to say that he's making a journey, making this journey himself. He's going himself to deliver this offering. And there's several things to remember, especially about traveling at that time. I know the map is not... Actually, we can put the map back on. We're not at the points yet. We have to understand the traveling at that time. Is that traveling at that time is not just hopping on the next flight. Traveling for Paul is usually by boat or on foot. And so for Paul, he's going way out this way. Where is Paul right now? He is at Corinth. He wants to go this way, two-thirds of the map across. But before he goes that way, he said that he wants to go the wrong way to Jerusalem, the other end of this map. And that's about 1,500 kilometers going the wrong way. And so Paul is going way out of his way to deliver this offering before he heads back the other way. That's a 3,000 kilometer round trip by boat or on foot. And so Paul did not have discount airlines like Ryanair or during those time. And so he's not like looking for the cheapest flight. And sometimes when you want to find the cheapest flight, it takes you the wrong way for a layover before it goes to that. We all have been on flights like that, especially when we travel through Asia, that sometimes we wonder why this flight is taking us to JFK first. And so Jenny and I have had that experience. So we go to JFK, it's like, we're in New York already, why don't we visit some friends, hop out, visit some friends. That's not the case for Paul. He's not taking the cheapest boat to Spain, but it goes through Jerusalem first. He's making a conscious decision to go to Jerusalem to deliver this offering to the church in Jerusalem. And also we have to remember, what is Paul delivering? He's delivering money. And Paul is not just sending a e-transfer to Jerusalem. E-transfer did not exist back then. Paul is not even carrying a traveler's check to Jerusalem. And not even suitcases of paper cash. What is cash in those times? Is actual metal coins. So you can imagine, Paul is accompanying a cart full of sacks of money that has been collected in the church to Jerusalem. And so it's not that easy. Paul cannot just call FedEx or let Browns do it to send the money to. But sometimes you wonder, why can't Paul just trust someone else to do it? Why can't Paul send, let's say, Barnabas? He's a trustworthy man. Paul could have sent Barnabas to do it. But Paul is making a point that the one fact is that he wants to make sure he accompanied this money himself to Jerusalem because he is bringing this aid to the saints. And so this is costing Paul a lot to go to Jerusalem because Paul wants to go that way. And his deepest desire, he knows his calling is to plant churches in Spain. And he wants, but then he's taking a break from that calling just to be a courier to Jerusalem. And we need to understand why. Why is that? Why is it so important to make this delivery? And what can we learn about giving and stewardship from Paul's 3,000 kilometers detour going the wrong way? And so these are the basic facts. And then here's the question, is that why is Paul making this detour? And so there's some couple answers that we want to see from this, is that why am I showing a map and why is Paul is going this way, is that some of the fact is that what does gospel and money has to do with one another? That's the first thing. Number two is that what is the Christian commitment to the poor? Number three is that how does money unify the church, especially in this case between the Jews and the Gentile? And then the fourth thing is that what is the joy of giving? How can we find joy in giving? And so let us move through these as we draw some applications ourselves. Gospel and money. My first thought is that Paul wants to take this money to Jerusalem himself rather than trusting someone else. Is that because he personally raised this money himself? He was the one who was writing to the churches in Corinth as he raised the money. As we can see that we don't see this in this part of Romans, but when we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, it's very detailed in Paul writing to a church in Corinth in raising this money. So Paul was leaving Ephesus in his third missionary journey, and right about when he left Ephesus, he wrote a quick letter to Corinth saying that the church in Jerusalem needs money. And so for Paul, for him, why is he bringing this money himself? Because the reputation of the gospel is at stake. For him, it is important because in we can see in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13, it says, by their approval of this service, they, that means the poor in Jerusalem, will glorify God because of your, the Gentiles, submission and flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ. So in other words, is that the gospel of Christ, that reputation of the gospel is at stake. If somehow this money was lost, somehow this money was embezzled by someone else, somehow there was fraud, somehow this money was stolen, then by a Christian courier, the gospel is at stake for Paul. That's how important for Paul is that this money was collected properly, that this money was delivered properly to the church in Jerusalem. And so it means, he wants to show the church in Jerusalem how the gospel changes people, how the gospel changed people in such a way that it makes them generous, it makes them willing to help, to give. And it's important because it shows that the gospel changes us in a way that we no longer love money anymore. We love God more. And we all remember on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus saying that you cannot serve two masters in Matthew 6:24. Is that we cannot serve two masters, God and money. We have to choose one. So it shows that the gospel should lead us to love God more than money. And so if this collection was embezzled by a Christian or by the courier on the way to Jerusalem, it would be very contradictory to the nature of the gospel. And so Paul wants to make sure that this does not happen. That's why Paul is accompanying the money himself, and he wants to deliver this money to Jerusalem. And Paul knows that it is dangerous. Paul knows that the non-Christian Jews in Jerusalem hates Paul. And that's why at the end of Romans 15, he's asking the church in Romans to pray for him for his journey. He prayed that he will be safe in this journey. And we know that Paul, because of this, he was in prison for 2 years in Jerusalem because of this journey. So it's not just a 3,000-kilometer detour. At the end, he lost 2 years in Jerusalem. So this is important a question that we need to ask is, how are we treating our money? And is our money used in a way that makes the gospel shine as the most precious thing in your life, instead of the money making you or your materialistic shine, things that you wear, making you shine? Is your money making the gospel shine? And that's what Paul wants the church to know, is that the gospel makes us no longer love money, but we love God even more, and we want to see God's gospel advance. And number two is that we see the commitment to the poor, the Christian commitment to the poor. And Paul is taking this money and this offering to the poor in Jerusalem himself to underline the importance of the ministry to the poor. Again, he could have sent the money by someone else, but he takes it at tremendous cost for his own ministry. We can see at the end of Acts, just because of this, not only he was in prison for 2 years, but on the way to Rome afterwards, somehow God still led him to Rome, but through many trials, through a shipwreck, and ended up in Rome. And he was in prison in Rome, so he could not head to Spain right away. He was in prison for another 2 years in Rome. And so we see Paul's decide to minister to the poor. And because if you recall in Acts chapter 15, when Peter and Paul, when they met together during the Jerusalem Council, Paul tells us again in Galatians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, what happened when he met with Peter, with James, and with John in Jerusalem to explain to them that he is also an apostle. This is what Paul says. He says, "They gave me the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, and we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very things that I was eager to do." And so during that Jerusalem council, they made an agreement that Peter, John, and James, they were to continue to work in the Judea area to the Jews, while they're sending Paul and Barnabas to the Gentiles. But the one thing that the apostles told Paul is that remember the poor. Paul knows that the apostle gave him so much. They say they give the right hand of fellowship to him and send him with blessing with Barnabas to go to the Gentiles. So perhaps during this Jerusalem council, there's already a crisis in Jerusalem. During that time, maybe the famine has already begun and there's already poor in Jerusalem. And so Peter then will say to Paul, "Do not forget where you come from. Remember the poor people. Don't forget your own people. Don't forget your own race, the Jewish people, as you go serve the Gentile. Don't forget your own people." So Paul, in essence, is giving confidence to Peter as he travels back to Jerusalem, going the wrong way. He's saying to Peter, "I did not forget." And by bringing the fundraised money to Jerusalem himself, he's saying that this is the way that I am giving my right hand to you in support of the saints, support of the church in Jerusalem. So pretty much Paul is keeping a promise and yet also showing that this is how much he loves the people of God, how much he loves the Jews in Jerusalem. So I pray that our church, that we cares for the poor, especially we cares for the poorest of the poor. And Paul comes to the end of Galatians and wrote in chapter 6, he says that, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." So it's not either and, it's that we care for the poor, both Christians poor and non-Christians poor. And that's why we want to highlight to you when we give to the church, is our church is, we're trying to help both our members of our own family, other churches, and to the poor that are not part of our church. And so, reflecting on last year, and being 2019 from last year, one of the highlights for Jenny and I is when we took the shot into our house, because she was, when she came to our church looking for help, she was homeless at that time, and Jenny and I, we decided to take her in. And we were so encouraged to see how the church came together in support of her and journey with her as and even we've continued to journey with her in her eventual trip back to Turkey. And we were excited. One of the most exciting things this year is that we got a Happy New Year from her, from a message from Turkey. And now how she's making connections with the missionaries, the local missionaries in Turkey, how they will continue to support her back home in Turkey. And so church, how are we helping the poor? And also a third thing that we can learn from this is that how this unites the church together, especially between the Jews and the Gentiles in this context, how it unites the Gentiles and the Jews together, but how our giving and our stewardship can unite the church together. In Romans 15:27, it says that they, who are they, the Gentiles believer in Macedonia and Achaia, were pleased to do it. We're pleased to give this offering. And indeed, they owe it to them. That is, they owe it to the poor Christians in Jerusalem. For if the Gentiles have come to share in the faith, that is, the Jewish spiritual blessing, so Gentiles have shared the Jewish spiritual blessing, they, the Gentiles, ought to also be of service to them, to the Jewish Christian, in material blessing. So what Paul seems to be doing is that he's drawing attention to the Jewishness of the poor. Paul is not saying this to help any of the poor. Paul, in this passage, is really writing that let's focus on the Jewishness of the poor people in Jerusalem. He seems to be arguing the same way back in chapter 11 of Romans. And recall what he said is that he said that we are Gentiles like wild olive branches that were grafted into rich root of the natural olive tree. That is a covenant made with Israel. And so our spiritual life and our hope, our blessing, comes from a Jewish root. A Jewish root which belongs to the Messiah. And we have attached ourselves to this Jewish root. And so the spiritual blessing that we enjoy, the forgiveness of sins, the justification by faith, and also the reconciliation with God, and our escape from hell, all of these comes together, are working together for eternal good, and for the hope and enjoyment of the glory of God. All of this, we owe it to the Jewish people. And it's all connected to the seed of Abraham, namely in Christ Jesus. And Paul highlights this in Galatians 3:16. And also in John 4:22, it says that salvation is from the Jews. So our Savior is the Jewish Messiah. And so Paul wanted the Gentiles to never forget this. Don't forget this. He says in Romans 11, verse 17 to 18, it says, if some of the branches, that is the Jews who did not accept Jesus as the Messiah, were broken off, and you, the Gentiles, and all of us in this room are Gentiles, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing of the root of the olive tree. And that's what Paul means, the spiritual blessing, is that the Jewish olive tree, we're now enjoying some of that nourishment. Do not be ignorant towards the branches. If you are, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. And so Paul didn't have to bring this up. He didn't have to bring all these racial tension up. But he could have motivated generously to for the churches in Macedonia and Achaia to give to the poor purely out of the love of the people without referencing any of the Jewish and the Gentile tension that they have. But he brings this up so that we can hear and embrace it, is that from this giving, from the Gentiles to the Jews, he wants to unite the church together. He knows that as we read from Acts, he knows that there's always been tension between the Jews and the Gentiles. And Paul, by highlighting this, by writing this down in Romans 15, he wants to bring the church together so that we will be of one church. And we can see this, how this type of giving, how we're giving in advance of the gospel, how it encouraged our churches. Because remember that one of the churches that was giving the most faithfully, the most joyfully, is a church in Thessalonica. And we know in the writing is that church, they're not rich. They're a poor community, and they've gone through a lot of affliction. But yet the church in Thessalonica through the giving, through the love of the gospel, has set example to all the churches around them. We see this when Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 to 8. He says, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel come to you not only in word, but also in the power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know that the kind of man we prove to be among you for your sake, and you become imitator of us and of the Lord. For you have received the word in much affliction, but with joy, with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you become example to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of God sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not to say anything." And so you can see how the church in Thessalonica, they will encourage other churches around them through their giving, through the way that they are living. And so, brothers and sisters, in our church, in our giving, can we also encourage other churches around us? Because over the December, we hear from this all the time, is that how we need to raise enough money to make sure we can our church finances is intact. To tell you the truth, all the churches I've been in, they all go through that same issue. Is that by December they have the same announcement, and if you go visit other churches, it's the same thing. So church, can we as a church just break that mold and be an encouragement for other churches that in our faithful giving, that we don't wait till the last minute? It's throughout our habit of regular giving. Can we give regularly so that when other churches see this, it will make a loud wave to other churches? Say, hey. This church is, don't have to worry in December. This is such an encouragement that this could actually happen. And so imagine our offering habits can also set example and encourage other churches around us. And also finally, is that the joy of giving. The final reason why Paul is making this 3,000 kilometers detour is that he wants to show that the joy is rooted in this offering, is that it is rooted in love from the Gentile church to the Jewish church. Because if we look carefully in verse 26 and 27, we see, "For Macedonia and Achaia has been pleased," and this again is a key word that Paul repeated over again, "they were pleased to give," is meaning that Paul did not have to twist their arm to give. Paul just wrote a letter and they were willing to give, to make some contribution to the poor among the saints, and they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. So we know that these are not careless words that Paul just wanted to throw in there. It is words that he stressed that even as those churches are in severe tests of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in wealth of generosity on that part. And we see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. So we see that they just gave out of love, they gave out of joy, and they were excited to do it because they felt that they owe it to them. And we see Paul is actually walking a fine line between two errors. He said, on one hand, the Gentile might be thinking, oh, there's no obligation here, that there's no debts to be paid. But on the other hand, the poor saints in Jerusalem might be thinking, oh, they did this out of debt, and Paul is giving a guilt trip to them to give to us, and because they own their spiritual blessing from us. No, Paul is putting those two together to make all of them know that these people are giving not out of debt, but they are. Because they know that they owe it to the spiritual blessing from the church in Jerusalem, but they also do it out of joy. So it's both out of debt and joy. It's the both end. And so they know this is what they have received, and they even with more joy, they want to give it back to the church. And so it's not a conflict between duty and delight. And that's one lesson that we learn about God, serving God, is that, yes, we owe it to God to serve, but then we also serve God out of delight, out of joy, and we also give out of joy. And during the Christmas time, one of the most favorite things for our church that I really enjoy is to drive by our church at night, is to see the word joy. Well, it's love, peace, joy, but the word joy is up front. And I really hope that's the attitude that we have. That's the attitude that we have in everything that we do in service of the Lord, is to do it out of joy, because of our joy in the Lord, because of our love for God. And that's why Paul himself is rejoicing to make this detour, going the wrong way, to bring this offering to the church in Jerusalem. And so, yeah, we talked a lot about giving to the church, and some of you may say, oh, this, but I need this funds to take care of my family. And during Cross last week, I've heard one of the pastors, his name is Richard Chin, he threw out this challenge. He threw out this challenge to all the young people in attendance. He said that, yeah, a lot of the time we talk about raising funds, and but when we bring in a pastor, we said, okay, this is as a pastor, this is how much we're going to pay you, and because you've committed to serve full time, so this is the sacrifice that you have to give. And so this is as a pastor, this is a challenge he gave to the young people. He said, okay, and I'm not complaining. If you want to know how much I get paid, it's easy. You just look at the church financial records. You were able to figure it out. And Jenny and I, we can say this confidently, that we've been blessed so much by this church. And we've been blessed even more so by God. And we were never lacking in the things that we have. And God has led us to a point that if you come to us and ask us about how we're doing recently, is we're even more excited as we're moving at the end of the month. It's that God has blessed us in such a way that we cannot imagine that we will be moving at the end of the month to a new house. And so a challenge I have for you from the pastor's give is that if you think that if you really want to see how God works and how God bless, is try to live off a pastor's salary. Right? Try to find out from the financial record how much you get paid. And live off that salary and give the rest away. Give the rest away, not necessarily just to the church, but to the poor. Give the rest away and see how God will bless you through that. And if Jenny and I, we can survive in North York with a pastor's salary, I'm not saying this is a challenge, but this is something that we can ascribe to do, is learn to live in the grace of God and see how he will provide. And a story that always echoes in my mind is that I remember back in seminary, I had a classmate, a dear friend. She was from China and studying in seminary, and everything that she has in Toronto is given to her by donors. Her tuition, everything, her weekly allowance were given by donors. She had to fundraise every single dollar that for her to study in Toronto. And so I remember one Wednesday, we were sitting in the ceiling lounge, and she said, to our group, can you pray for me? My rent is due at the end of the week on Friday. My rent is due, and none of the donor's check has come in yet. So can you pray for me that God will provide? And of course, we gathered together and pray. And then we continued talking. We had lunch. And then she went to check her mailbox. And lo and behold, there was a check in her mailbox, just enough for her rent. She was excited. She came back and shared how God answered prayer. And as we sharing again, another student came by and said, David, that student is a little bit of bind and needed some money to pay for, I don't remember what, rent or for books or something else. And then this lady from China, she turned to her and took her check and said, why don't you take this? And we looked at her, it's like, what are you doing? We just prayed for you for this check, and God has given you this check, and you just gave it away. What are you doing? And she said, well, it's Wednesday. Friday is still 2 days away. They still have plenty of time for God to work. And we're like, okay. And then later on in the week, we checked in with her, and lo and behold, she got another check and paid her rent off. And we said to her, you need to write books about this to see how God has provided. And so, brother and sister, it's an encouragement for that. Learn to live contently and give with joy. And see how God works. Right? If you think that you can support yourself by yourself, you miss out a lot of the joy that God has prepared for you. How He will work miracles in your life, and that's what Jenny and I are going through right now too. And see how God will work miracle in our lives as we rushing everything to get the house closed in a couple weeks time. So in closing, I want to reiterate the points: is that be vigilant for the reputation of the gospel. Gospel and money, they tie in closely together, and Jesus himself says this, that you cannot serve two masters. Either serve Lord or the money. And care for the poor. God asks that we all have a kind heart, that we care for our neighbor, and that's what even in our vision statement is to love our neighbors and to care for those around us. And also to love the unity of the church. How our action will actually be an encouragement to other brothers and sisters around us. And also embrace the truth that we are born again by the Spirit of God and is treasured by Christ because he died for you. He died on the cross for you. And above all else, as we put our trust in God, you will also begin to change. And yes, it is our duty to pay back to God for what he has given us, but also it is a pure joy to give back to the Lord of all, King of Kings. And so that is the joy that I hope that we all get to experience as we give generously, as we continue to care for the poor and care for those around us. I hope that we all get to experience that joy, and that's the joy that will last forever and ever. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that we can hear from your word in Romans and learn from the example of your apostle Paul as he went all the way out of his way just to deliver this offering. And so, Lord God, we pray that as we learn from this, we see the importance of how we manage our resources, the importance of stewardship, the importance of caring for those around us. And so, Lord God, we pray that you give us the faith to give generously so that we will experience that you also will reward us and give generously to us, to that we will not be lacking in any way because you are God who you are the infinite God. And so, Lord God, we pray that you will help our faith grow. And thank you for that sister back in seminary that taught me how to trust in you. And so may that be an encouragement for our church also as we put our trust in you. So Lord God, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please rise. Receive this blessing from the Word of God. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead,